Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. Here's a story we've touched on here on this particular platform for some time now, but we've had conversations about other things around this particular story. But survivors of apartheid-era crimes and families of victims are launching a legal application against the president, Cyril Ramaphosa, and other high-profile government officials to seek constitutional damages for their failure to prosecute the tormented and the killing of family members. And you will recognize some of these families, the Credoc Four, one of the family groupings. You've got quite a number of them, PEPCO Three, and so on. And they're essentially are quite annoyed that the TRC made recommendations. And there was a report in 2003 to investigate and criminally prosecute individuals responsible for apartheid-era crimes. That didn't happen. And the families believe something else is fishy here. In studio with us is Lukanya Qalata, who's son of Fuqalata of the Credoc Four. Lukanya, thank you so much for making time for us and for coming through.
Ma'am, it's a real pleasure and an honor for me to be here. Thank you.
Okay, so this is not a class action.
No, it's not.
It's not.
No.
You want to go to court. You're taking government, the president included, to court. And you want government, essentially, to give you money to set aside.
Well, not me.
No. The grouping, 23 families.
Yes.
And essentially, you're seeking the fund to literally open a criminal case, to investigate and use that fund for the legal proceedings.
So what we want to do is twofold. Yes, the fund, about 167 million, mm-hmm. Is part of it, mm-hmm. but and I'll explain that. Mm. But what we want first and foremost is basically for the court to vindicate our right, mm. for the court to basically get the government to admit that it had failed its constitutional obligations towards us, mm-hmm. by giving us justice. For us as the families of the Credoc Four, justice would have been a prosecution of the people that were denied amnesty for killing my father and mm. his comrades on the night of 27 June 1985. Mm. But now, all of those that were there on the night, all of those police officers that were there on the night that did the physical act of killing them, they've all since died. Mm-hmm. The last of them died in 2023, I think. Mm. So which then means justice can no longer take the form of a prosecution. Mm. So what does justice then mean for us? Mm-hmm. In this instance, justice would be to get the court, for the government to admit, yes, that it failed us constitutionally, mm. to get the court to, for the court to order government to give us this 167 million rand, and I'll explain why, mm-hmm. and then to have the court order the president to set up a commission of inquiry to investigate who the people were within government, mm-hmm. led by the ANC, mm-hmm. since 2003 onwards, mm-hmm. who those people were that interfered with the work of the NPA, which ultimately led to us being denied justice for our father's death.
Because there seems to be consensus on the fact that there was tampering, there was interference in stopping the NPA, yeah. in going ahead to actually go ahead and investigate. And you guys say you know for sure there was no investigation.
Well, there's no consensus. There was an admission from the NPA, mm-hmm. that there was in fact political interference. Mm-hmm. So they admitted in court papers in the Timol matter, they admitted in court papers, mm-hmm. in the Noctula Simelane matter. I think there was an admission in the Neil Agard matter. Mm-hmm. I know that when we went to court as the families of the Credoc Four in 2021 to compel the NPA to make a prosecutorial decision. They admitted in the, in our court papers that yes, there had in fact been political interference. Mm-hmm. So we now need that commission to establish who interfered politically. Was it former President Thabo Mbeki? Was it Bridget Mabandla, who was Minister of Justice at the time? What role did Jeff Radebe play when he was Minister of Justice? Penuel Maduna, what did he do when he was Minister of Justice at that time? And then we also need to have people like Awu Bulelani Nuga, who is a former national director of the of public prosecutions in the country. We need to have him come and explain in front of that commission what he knew and, you know, about the lack of prosecutions and investigations of TRC-related cases.
Hmm. Let's talk about the money and what it will be actually doing.
Okay. So the money will have is about threefold, right? So the money will be set up and it will be put in a bank account that belongs to a trust mm-hmm. that we would have to establish. Mm-hmm. So it won't come to any of these mm-hmm. individual families. Mm-hmm. It will go to this trust. Now, this trust will have... So someone like me, who's also a filmmaker, when I want to make a documentary film about my dad, I can then apply to this trust to say, listen, it's going to cost about R1 million. This is how I'm going to spend the money. These are the people that I'm going to work with, da, da, da. After a period of a year, I will have this documentary film. I have to make that case to the trust. Hopefully, the people that run the trust will then see it fit to grant me R1 million to be able to make this documentary film. So that's for memorialization projects. Like some of these families who want to write books, some who want to set up memorial lectures in the name of their loved ones. You know, if they want to have a statue or whatever the case may be, so that they may remember. So that's one aspect of it. The other aspect is for us to be able, as the families, and with the assistance, for instance, of the Foundation for Human Rights, for us to be able to hold, to use the money to ensure that the NPA actually does its work. All right? To have oversight on them, to use the money to make sure that they investigate where they're supposed to, they prosecute where they're supposed to, and all of that. And then the last batch is for families who perhaps may want to pursue a private investigation. Private prosecutions. To be able to privately prosecute in this country, it's expensive.
Yes.
Right? So now imagine if, let's say, the Mutasi family, right? They have an opportunity to, there's one perpetrator that's perhaps still alive, right? And they know of it, and they think a private prosecution is the way to go because the NPA
is wasting time.
Is wasting time and it's failing. Then they can go to this trust and then they say, listen, this is how much it, we'd like to set up, institute a private prosecution. This is how much it's going to cost us, about 1.5 to maybe 2 million rand. So that, those families who still have a real hope of justice in the prosecutorial kind of way would have the means and the funds to be able to run that private prosecution for themselves so that they can have the justice that is due to them.
Weber Wenzel is assisting at the moment. How far would, you know, how far are you with this entire process, and how long are you looking at to eventually sit in front of a judge and then get this case going?
Yeah. So the papers have been filed. Okay. Right? The papers were filed about a week ago today. And then on last week, Thursday, we then had the media briefing because we had to wait for the sheriff to, you know, deliver the papers to the president, to the Minister of Justice, to the Minister of Police, to Shamil Abatoy, everybody that's listed as respondents. And they, all of the respondents have until the 10th of February for them to be able to indicate as to whether or not they will they will oppose our application.
Sure.
And then we'll take it from there. We're hoping that we could potentially be in court perhaps in the third quarter of the year. Mm-hmm. And that for this matter to then obviously be finalized, you know how the courts are. We'll have the hearings. Hopefully, if nobody opposes, then it's a clean shot. It's easier. But if people then do oppose, then it might take a little bit longer. But we're hoping to be in court later this year. Because what I'd like, my father's birthday is on the 5th of November. So what I would like, it would be to be able to go to his grave this year and say, you know what, Tata, we've held the third inquest, and this were the outcomes of that inquest. We went to court on a constitutional damages application. We won that application. So you know what I mean? I think I have now done everything that I could do. Right. And then obviously maybe that would free me up to maybe pursue other things. But then also, of course, to continue to then just memorialize my dad, I think, in the way that he deserves. So I would like to be able to do that.
This is assuming it's a straight line and it's going to be smooth.
Mm-hmm.
But you are asking for an inquiry into big names.
Mm-hmm.
And their involvement in interfering with the work of the NPA,
mm-hmm.
I don't see it being smooth. Do you?
Well, the commission is one thing, you know. Look, once, if the court agrees with us, then the president doesn't really have a choice but to set up this commission.
Well, right? In the sense that others are going to, before we get to the court, they attempt to oppose.
Well, let's see. Right. Let's see who these ANC leaders are, right, that would want to oppose an application of this nature, because then that should then lead to the question at what motivates them to oppose an application of this nature. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, let's see. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking of a line in a movie. Something. It was in movie Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Scratch a dog and the lie will come out, or something like that. Sorry, I had it in my head properly. Mm-hmm. But let's wait and see who opposes our application, why they're opposing our application, and then at least we'll know.
I think you kick the dog and the owner will come out.
Something like that. See, you like, man, you're not just pretty, but you're smart too.
How family members that are, I mean, you speak on behalf of many.
Yes, ma'am.
And this has been a long, long journey. And you find yourself here where you are now literally going to the state to say, take accountability, take responsibility, and we are forcing you to do that. What is the sentiment amongst the 23 families right now with where you're at and why you actually have to take a step like this?
You know, it's incredible, because we've been on this journey with, you know, all of these families for a while now.
Mm.
And the sentiment is quite overwhelming, in that people want, like, these families, they want this thing. They want to have it wrapped up so that people can focus on closure,
yeah.
Right? And be able to explore
some
other things.
Justice here.
Yes. Right, so families are at that point, that they're at their wits' end, to say, but there's nothing, we can't do anything because we're dependent on the state. So, all I was then able to do was to just kind of nudge, to say, okay, but listen, there is an option, right? And this is the option. And once the lawyers were able to explain to us, you know, what this option is, all of the families, really, they were, you know, we didn't have to ask them twice. You know, and what I appreciated was also that the families, yes, there was at some point once there was a discussion around reparations, mm-hmm. right? But you know, we had that discussion, and ultimately, firstly, the law doesn't really permit that, which I was happy for, you know. But also, secondly, for me, this has always been about my dad.
Mm.
It has always been about my dad.
Mm.
So when there is, when we're suing the state in some sense, and we're asking for money, that money now can't be about me.
Mm.
It can't be so that, you know, I squander it or whatever.
Mm.
It has to be about my dad.
Mm.
And the best way to preserve that is I believe the route we have taken by, you know, going to putting the money in a trust. Now, I understand families are different. I'm fortunate in that I have a job.
Mm.
You know, I get paid a salary and all of that. So I do have some means to be able to survive. Mm. I would love to be, you know, to have some of the families that are a little like less fortunate than me, for them to be able to receive something for themselves.
Mm.
But, you know, I suppose I can't always have everything that I want.
And obviously you're a descendant of the deceased.
Yes.
But there are those who were very much present in the time, who may have struggled with the pain of this reality much. And I'm not saying the children's pain is less.
Mm.
I'm just saying those who were witnesses to the crime, who have no closure, who have no sense of peace, who this entire thing remains haunting. We spoke to one family member who says, you know, my mother, that's all my mother talks about, that's all my mother thinks of, that's all my mother engages in, and that's it.
Yeah.
So it's real for families. It's not just a discussion point once a year or every now and then when we come to
it. It's not. It is completely real. So one of the, excuse me, throughout this process, I've made friends with the most incredible guy, a guy called Sidiso Mutasi. He is, man, you'd love him. When you meet him, like, you'd love him. Like, big guy, great to hug, you know, it's like very nice. But Sidiso's story is one of the saddest stories that I've ever heard.
Mm.
He was orphaned, right, at the age of about four.
Mm.
Police came into his house here in Amanskraal. Police came into his house and they shot and killed both his mother and his father on the same night. And they left this four-year-old little boy to have to spend the night in this home with the remains of his parents. Right? I mean, you know, I hear his story and then I think, gosh, I was lucky I just lost one parent. You know what I mean?
And you were not at the crime scene.
I wasn't at the crime scene. Can you imagine
yeah.
what Sidiso was dealing with?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that, you know, and he said it to me, and he was at the briefing last week, that out of this process, he will finally have the means to be able to honor his parents in the way that they deserve to be honored. You know what I mean?
And this is one of many, many stories.
Oh, this is just one of, like, it's one of
many
hundreds,
yeah.
if not thousands of stories.
And we're almost running out of time, are we not? If we don't get this done.
We are running out of time.
Yeah.
We are running out of time because people are getting older. People are dying on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Both the perpetrators.
Those you need to account to.
Yes, and the families. You know, for instance, the Craddock Four, there used to be four mothers.
Mm.
We're now only left with three.
Mm.
You know, I mean, my mom is 65, 66 now, you know. 40 years ago when my dad was killed, she was only 26. You see, so Mrs. Mhlawuli is closer to 70, if not, yeah, I think she's quite close to 70. Mrs. Mkonto is also close to 70. So, you know, and we're losing, so we need to be able to, in the twilight of their lives, we need to be able to give them a sense of closure, and we're hoping that this year we will be able to do that for them.
Well, we'll be there. Hopefully it does come through.
Thank you, ma'am.
Lekhanya Tsalata, thank you so much for coming through. And please keep us posted. We'll be watching. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Thanks for having me.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.